But let's begin this morning at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me." From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So Holy Spirit, as we come to your inspired word, take these words as we always pray, work them into our lives and into our minds, down into our soul, Lord, and invigorate us, renew us once more as we come to your word, seeking your renewal in our own hearts, and help our minds to be quickened by the words that are on the page. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us, you would strengthen us, and you would bring boldness and confidence to our faith once more. Pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, one of John's major themes is the world. You see the world mentioned several times right here in this passage. That's one of those words. Remember last week I mentioned that the word count, the number of words, the vocabulary of John is less than the other Gospels, but he uses words over and over and over again, and those words are loaded with meaning, and the word world is itself loaded with meaning. It can mean, according to the context in Scripture, it can mean the created order, but for John, the world means everything, humanity, that is arrayed against God. That for when he talks about the world, it's not a compliment to the world. For God so loved the world, that it, when we get to John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's not a compliment to the world, that the God just was so desperately saddened by the world. It's a statement of the grace of God. God so loved the world, all of those in hostility, all of the systems of the world, the people, humanity of the world, against God, enemies of God. That's the world for John. So humanity, as we left last time, looking at this verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. So humanity is in darkness. Humanity is in this situation of spiritual, moral, ethical darkness. And the only way that that situation can be dealt with, the only way that that situation can be remedied in the mind of John, is that all of humanity needs to be born again. In later chapters, we'll see that language, born again, born from above. But here in the prologue, he's giving us a taste. The light shines in the darkness. Humanity is arrayed against God. The light comes, and humanity doesn't like the light because the light calls out and names the darkness. Just like when you use a flashlight in a darkened room. I know you've heard the illustration several times. Or when you flip the light switch on in a room, those kinds of things, those kinds of illustrations. But a light comes into the darkness, and it shines light on what we didn't know was there before and some things that are pretty ugly. Truth. Truth shines in the darkness. So John is concerned about the world because God is concerned about the world. And he lays out from the beginning that the world wouldn't have anything to do with God when he showed up. His own. He came to his own. He says there in verse 11, came to his own people didn't receive him. So it begins with, there was a man from God. A man that was sent from God. Now he's right immediately contrasting what had taken place in the first five verses. He talks about the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Now there was a man, not the Logos, the man that was sent from God. A divine commissioning from God. And his name was John. John's name means Jehovah is gracious. It's a statement about the grace of God. This John that the Apostle John is referring to, of course, is none other than John the Baptist. Perhaps, apart from Jesus, perhaps the most well-known character in the Bible, John the Baptist. So this man sent from God, his name was John. He came to bear witness about the light. So he's a witness. He's there to give testimony about the light. What John's doing here, the Apostle John, is he doesn't want any confusion among people that perhaps John the Baptist was the anointed messenger, the anointed Messiah of God, somehow get some confusion. And he's immediately saying, no, don't forget, the Apostle John was a disciple of John the Baptist. So the Apostle John knows a lot about John the Baptist and the following John the Baptist had, and the concern that people had and joy people had about John the Baptist. The true light gives light to everyone, he says. But if we pause just for a moment and think about this man from God, he was to bear witness. And I know some of you like to do your studies at home on this, and you'll find that word witness, it comes from the word that we get the word martyr from. And then we can see in the life of John the Baptist how that idea really comes to a flower. Really, we could be able to see it. The picture is painted. John the Baptist ultimately will be beheaded. But to be a witness, the kind of witness that John the Baptist is, the kind of witness the Apostle Paul is, the kind of witness the Apostle John and Matthew are witnesses that come out of this word martyr. They're willing to take a stand for Jesus Christ. They're willing to take a stand for truth. That's what's laid into that word. And like I told you, John uses these words and they're packed with meaning. You'll notice with John the Baptist and the Apostle John himself, as he's writing, but these characters, they're not in the game with Jesus just to get along. Can we all just come down to the river and inflate the raft and swim around, put on some sunscreen, and we'll have a nice day as religionists? No. They're bold. for Jesus. Now, John is an interesting character. We'll look some more at John, but I want to, the apostle in the prologue is laying out John the Baptist. Well, there's a long section that we'll look at on another Sunday about John. But with John, what we'd say about John, what the people were saying back then about John is, well, he was a celebrity preacher. You've heard the term celebrity preacher. Well, he was a celebrity preacher. We'll see in the coming weeks. He has a lot of notoriety. He has enormous notoriety. People are interested in what John the Baptist has to say. He dresses odd. He eats odd things. He eats locusts and wild honey. Now, we have a nutritionist here. I don't know about this, but I saw an article recently that kind of the move in the world today in the 21st century is some places they would like to commercially package dried locusts, grasshoppers, commercially dry them and package them. They're supposed to be high in protein content. I don't know, the physician could tell us. But I don't know. But anyway, in that day and age, probably today too, if you had a celebrity preacher someday somewhere and it came out on, you know, Christian Post or some news article, he eats locusts. That's what he rises in the morning and has locusts and orange juice. Whoa! This guy is strange. He dresses in an odd way. He's a celebrity preacher. Now, John himself says, we'll see soon enough, that Jesus must increase, I must decrease. The Apostle John wants to make sure that everyone has that real clear. Jesus is increasing. Jesus is the Word, the Logos, not John. John's important. But as much notoriety as he has, celebrity that he had in the day, he's not the one. He's pointing to the one. And we know that that's important for the Apostle John because it's right here in the prologue, in the very first verses. He doesn't wait till later to tell us that. That's an issue that John is dealing with. John is the last of the Old Testament prophets. We read about him in the New Testament, but he's linking. He's the bridge between the Old and the New. He's the last of the Old Testament prophets. He's pointing to the Messiah. He's pointing to the one coming into the world. He's a celebrity. He doesn't want the attention on himself. He wants the attention, the devotion, the worship to be on Jesus. And the scriptures tell us about this Baptist. In fact, if you wanted, you could turn in your Bibles to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. The last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words, but you say, how have we wearied him? By saying, everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. They're saying that wearies the Lord. Or by asking, where is the God of justice? Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant of whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And so Malachi ends there, and there's this silence for 400 years, and boom, John the Baptist comes on the scene. He has very elderly parents. We remember that his elderly parents, his mother is old, his father is old. People of that age don't have children. John the Baptist shows up. Something special is going on with this particular one. He announces in the wilderness that the messenger is coming. Now, all of the apostles, all of the gospel writers, the Apostle John, they're clear that this preacher, this John the Baptist, preached with zeal. He preached repentance. He wasn't afraid to call sin what it was. He wasn't afraid to call out people on their indifference about the things of God, shrugging about the things of God, giving lip service to the things of God. He says, no, no, no. You want to put confidence, you want to be bold in your traditions, you want to be bold in your bloodline, you want to be bold in your ancestry. No. He says no to that. And he's a burning prophet of God. What we see with John the Baptist, what we see about God is God wants to use human beings. Now, God can push back the darkness any way God wants to. He doesn't have to use you. He doesn't have to use me. He has chosen to push back the darkness. We see with John the Baptist, push it back with the Apostle Paul. Push it back with Jesus. Push it back with Luke writing. Push it back with Matthew. And we'll see with the Apostle John that he writes about Jesus. Well, he's very similar to the way Luke wrote. That following Jesus is not graham crackers and milk. Jesus demands, let me say that again. Jesus demands, not suggests, he demands something of his disciples. That is what the darkness does not like. The darkness is not going to have any part of that. You come as a good teacher, a moral person that I can follow and my life may get a little bit better. But you come and make demands on me, on my sin. You make demands on me calling for repentance.